Invite you to take a Bible and follow along with us tonight as we study again from the Word of God. We're in the fourth of this series, although we probably should have been through with this series by now, but I was out for a week and then Chris preached for a week. And certainly we hope that it's profitable to you and beneficial as we study together the life and the epistles of Paul. And tonight we're going to talk about the prison epistles and also his journey to Rome. He had appealed to Caesar under Festus. He had been held by Felix for 2 years. Felix hoped that, I don't know if he knew that Paul and his associates were carrying a lot of money. But Felix hoped that the Apostle Paul would give him some money. In chapter 24 and in verse 26, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. But then in chapter 25, he goes before Festus. And Festus doesn't know what to do with him. Doesn't have any charges against him. Probably curious why he's been held for 2 years. So Festus knows that King Agrippa is coming, although Festus is really over King Agrippa. But King Agrippa is coming, and maybe King Agrippa would have a better knowledge concerning this than Festus, and certainly would find some sort of charge to bring against the Apostle Paul, because he's sending this fellow to Caesar, and he's got to have some charge against him, because Caesar, he'll just throw a fit concerning the fact of no charges. So Agrippa says, "This man is not worthy of death or imprisonment." In verse 31 of chapter 26, it says, if he had not appealed to Caesar, he would have been set free. So we go back to our little map here that we've used the past few weeks, and we see the fact that he leaves from Caesarea, speaks to King Agrippa there. We see that Luke and Aristarchus is with him. Aristarchus is going to be called his fellow prisoner. So what, I don't know what Aristarchus has done, but Aristarchus seems to be in trouble as well. And Luke's going with him as well. I tried to figure out why Luke would be going, because the Apostle Paul would have to pay for his own journey to Rome to appeal to Caesar. In fact, he would have to pay for the soldiers to go with him to appeal to Caesar. So there were some costs involved. Maybe the idea that Luke could go along as a Greek slave. I don't know. Some people wrote about that, and maybe that's it. But whatever the reason, Luke and Aristarchus is with him on this journey. And as we see this journey, we see that, we talked about this a couple of months ago now, I suppose, the shipwreck of Paul, to where the Apostle Paul, he wants to stay in Fair Havens. It's sort of a podunk town, and the sailors, they don't want to stay in Fair Havens. If they're going to stay there during the winter, they want to stay somewhere where the action is. So they wanted to go on to a place called Phoenix. And there we see that they get in trouble with a storm and they're shipwrecked. And they end up on Malta for, I guess, about 3 months. And then finally they make their way to Rome. He remains in a rented house for about 2 years. Although he is chained to a Roman soldier, my guess is some probably very cruel to him during that time. I don't know. But when we get to the book of Philippians, we see that he's known throughout the Praetorian Guard now. So the Apostle Paul is having some effect on the people spiritually as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. And this is where, as we deal tonight, he's going to write four letters. These are what many times people term the prison epistles. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. He's under house arrest. We see in these different letters now, the Apostle Paul begins to dictate these letters. I don't know if it was because of the stoning. I don't know if it was because some people say of his eyesight or what it is, but the Apostle Paul is starting to dictate these letters to someone. And then at the very end of the letter, he's going to sign it many times. In chapter 16 and in verse 11 of Romans, chapter 16, verse 11 of Romans, it says, Tertius, I also write this letter and greet you in the Lord. So Paul is dictating the book of Romans to this man in order to write. And then Paul's going to sign it. We see in Galatians and in chapter 6 and verse 11, he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. When it gets down to the very end where Paul signs it, I don't know, he might sign it almost like a first grader or something. Just great big old letters compared to how the different men would write the letters that were dictated by Paul. The first letter that we look at tonight is that of Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. He no doubt has a tremendous love for the people of this church, people in this city. He spends 3 years there at one time. When he's making his way back to Jerusalem with that contribution that we talked about in 2 Corinthians 8 this morning, he doesn't want to go to Ephesus again. He says, if I go to Ephesus, I'm going to stay there too long. So he tells the elders from Ephesus to meet him in Miletus. And that's the picture that you get in Acts chapter 20 concerning the love that he has for the people there in Ephesus. We see it contains very few personal remarks, unlike many of the other letters. This is more of a circular letter, evidently. They would all circulate, of course, but this was one that would really circulate quite a bit. And we see this very, very doctrinal. We see the theme, God's plan for man, in chapter 1. We see in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it talks about one of the terms that he's going to use is the lust of the mind, and talk about that in contrast many times to the lust of the flesh. And, of course, the lust of the flesh, that's what the Gentiles were always charged with. But the lust of the mind, that's what the Jews would involve themselves with many times. The Apostle Paul deals with that in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 about really the lust of the flesh in chapter 1 and the lust of the mind in chapter 2 of Romans. And he deals with it here in chapter 2 of Ephesians. He's going to talk about God's grace and love and mercy in chapter 2, 4 through 18. He's going to talk about the saved of the church and what is resulting. And what is resulting is there is a barrier now that's broken down, a barrier that's broken down between themselves and God because they are saved. And because that barrier is broken down between themselves and God, they ought to break down that other barrier too. And that other barrier is between the Jew and the Gentile. And he had strong feelings, strong writings about that and about what to do. We see the practical applications in chapters 4 through 6, as you find in many other of the Apostle Paul's writings. He'll write very doctrinally in the first couple of chapters, and then he'll go through practical applications at the very end. You see the book of Romans is set up like that, as well as other books. You notice here, though, is reference to the chains in chapter 6 and in verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "For I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So he's in prison here at this time. And then in chapter 6, verse 21-22, this fellow called Tychicus says that you may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. There is another letter that's written at this time. Tychicus is going to carry three letters. He's going to carry Ephesians. He's going to carry Colossians. He's going to carry a little letter called Philemon. So evidently he takes all three of these at the same time. These places are fairly close together. And about the same time he writes to the Colossian brethren. Colossians is written to counteract the influence of Greek philosophy and Judaizing teachers. This is somewhat parallel to that of Ephesians. They have some of the same problems, therefore they're going to receive some of the same teaching. The Greek philosophy, though, was contrary to the gospel of Christ. The Greek philosophy was that the flesh, the body of man, is inherently evil. And because the body of man is inherently evil, therefore Jesus, when he came in the flesh, cannot be the Son of God. That's what they believed. So there would be some dealing. There would be some dealing with that here in this book. In this postmodern philosophy that we're dealing with today, you can't get many people mad at you anymore concerning the gospel. It's sort of a philosophy of, I'm okay, you're okay. You tell somebody you're lost eternally, and you're going to be lost in hell. And they would say, well, that's just an interesting idea. It used to make people mad. It used to make people upset, to where they would sit down and they would study the Bible, because you've told them that they're going to be lost as far as the Bible is concerned. But now in our society, we have a society much like the society that the Apostle Paul was dealing with here, with this philosophy that's going on now. We see the deity and sufficiency of Christ, chapter 1, verse 1 through 20. We see the equality of the Gentiles in Christ. That's why Paul's suffering so much. That's why he'd be beat up all the time because of that. We see as well that philosophy and the Old Testament law was unneeded. He talks about in chapter 2 that it was nailed to the cross. And then we see again some practical application in chapter 3 and 4. Again, Paul talks about his chains in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 18. Colossians 4 and in verse 18. It says, I, Paul, writing this greeting with my own hand. Remember, you'd have somebody else write the body of this, but when the letter would finish, he would want to sign it himself. This is Paul. This is Paul the Apostle. He says, remember my imprisonment. Grace be to you. And again, Tychicus is coming. But this sets up another letter to where he says Tychicus is coming with Onesimus. In chapter 4 and in verse 7 through 9, it says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother, faithful servant, fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, before he was a slave, nice faithful brother, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you in number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. I heard Brother Cogdell speak years ago, and Roy Cogdell, he always said that the Ephesian letter emphasized the bride, and the Colossian letter emphasizes the groom. So maybe that's a way you can look at it. Let's see. A third letter? That's the letter to Philemon. A short little letter. I don't know how long they argued about this being in the Bible, but it's a very short letter, personal letter. When they would get the letters, they would usually get all the church together, that Tychicus is coming, whoever's coming, there's a letter from Paul. We're going to get all the church together and we're going to read this letter. And I don't know if Philemon read his letter first or whether he read the letter to the church at Colossae, because that's where Philemon lives, in Colossae. I don't know which way it goes, but either way, he sees that fellow over there, that slave that had escaped from him. And he had the right to put that man to death for escaping from him. So I don't know if they read the Colossian letter first about how a master and a slave interact towards each other, or whether he takes his letter first and reads it. But that's where we are right now, to where there's two letters that come to Colossae, one to the church and one to a fella that owns a slave that's just walked through the door. And now they got to figure out what to do. Well, the Apostle Paul writes concerning this, a personal letter about this runaway slave. There is a tactful plea for his forgiveness and for his release. We see probably in 2 Corinthians and the book of Philemon, you see more of the heart of Paul than any other place. And this is one of the places when he talks about this. He says in verse 8, he says, although I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person. That is, Cindy, my very heart. How much he loves Onesimus, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I do not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. And how much he loved this young man. We see that he writes about his imprisonment again in chapter 1, verse 10, talks about the imprisonment. Verse 13, he talks about the imprisonment for the gospel once again. And again, we see that Tychicus, he's one of the fellows that delivers the money to Jerusalem during their trials, during their famine. And now we see him here delivering these three letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon. Well, one other tonight, and the lesson's yours. The epistle to the Philippians. Paul's still in chains. He's awaiting trial. He talks about in chapter 1, verse 12 through 26. He'll report the outcome by Timothy, who he's sending. Evidently, he's expected an early release. I don't know if they had ever brought charges against him or not. At the end of 2 years under Roman law, no charges brought against you, you'd be released. So that fits into the time frame. He's sending Epaphroditus with them here at this time. Epaphroditus, interesting character. It says in verse 25 of chapter 2, it says, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is your messenger and minister to my need." In verse 26 through 30, it says that he is seriously ill, or was seriously ill. It says he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. "For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow." Again, we see that Paul, he can't heal himself. And here in this instance, we see that he can't heal Epaphroditus either. He can heal other people. But himself and his co-workers, for whatever reason, he's not allowed to heal. We see the primary purpose of the letter is to thank them for the gift that was sent by him. And the Philippian brethren there, this area is Macedonia. When you think of Macedonia, think of Berea, think of Thessalonica, think of Philippi. When you think of Corinth, you think of Achaia. So Achaia is Corinth, Macedonia is Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi. And we see that it's an epistle of rejoicing. And also he pleads for unity. He got two ladies there in the church that just aren't getting along at all. They are crossed up with each other over something. Doesn't say what it is. But chapter 4 and in verse 2, there is Euodia and Syntyche who just aren't getting along. And he wants them to get along. Well, I'm going to close this out now tonight. Acts doesn't contain any outcome of the trial. We don't find out what happens during this time. In fact, it doesn't even report a trial. Next week, we're going to talk about the three other books that just don't fit into the history of Acts. And that's 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And in the next lesson, we'll discuss the possibilities there again. So we get back to the chart once more tonight. We see what happens here, the no writings during the first journey. During the second journey from Corinth, he writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In the third journey, he writes 1st Corinthians from Ephesus. He writes 2nd Corinthians from somewhere in Macedonia. I don't know which place it is. He writes the book of Romans from Corinth as well. Galatians, we don't have any idea where he wrote that from. And then the four prison epistles that we looked at tonight. Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon. That all were sent by Tychicus. And then also the book of Philippians. So we'll finish up this series next week with 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. We would encourage you, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way by being baptized or coming back to the Lord, we invite you to come right now while together we stand while we sing.